I just pray right now that you would just be present with us. Open up your word to us. Open up our hearts and just flood us, Lord. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I just say thank you to all, to Suzanne and the other ladies for music. You know, they step in when someone, there's a void. There's no one to do music, and they step in and they do it. And I'm so thankful for that. And they do it week in, week out. And I do have a little announcement on music. Roy Harbor, who became our bug guy, he took over our bug. I mean, he's a story here. I mean, he's our bug guy, but he's also he leads worship. And he's done it in Baptist churches, Bell Road Baptist, Lincoln Baptist, Orangevale. Him and his friend Terry, they've been leading music for years. And they have agreed to come lead music at First Baptist Church of Rockland. So they're coming the first 2 weeks of March, they'll lead. And then they've got obligations for the rest of March. And then they'll start full time in April. So that's an announcement I want to make. And we want to keep it in prayer. It'll be a change for us. But I hope we're ready for changes. Because changes happen. And so hopefully we'll get the... Just pray for it, and pray for Roy. This has been a week. Have you ever had like one of those weeks? I have had one of those weeks. I'm telling you right now, I've never, you know, I've made this, you know, since I've been in ministry for about 14 years now as a pastor, and I will never get used to the highs and lows of ministry. I mean, you can go from really highs to lows, like, within just hours. And it amazes me how fast it happens. I never get used to it. It's like God always keeps me humble. Like, I can't get too excited about things, and I can't get too depressed about things. I have to just trust that God is in charge. And I don't know if you feel that or not, but I definitely do. And this Psalm 32, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to them. And we're going to look at the joy of forgiveness this morning. Charlie read this psalm at the beginning of the service. But, you know, as I was doing my devotionals earlier in this week, this psalm just kind of stuck with me, and it just wouldn't leave. And I got totally derailed this week out of my normal studies and my normal routines for putting together a sermon. And yesterday, I actually was sitting there Saturday morning going, I don't even know what I'm going to preach. And I don't feel like preaching. Just to be honest, I'm sick. I got this stupid cold that just decided to come back. And been battling that. And so this psalm just kind of rested in this psalm. And I hope that you will just join me in this psalm as we look at it. And no. Anyways, so here we go. Ready? The threat of a dam break will put your life in perspective. I can tell you that because I experienced it this week. For many in the Oroville area and the cities below, Yuba City, Gridley, you think of Live Oak, all the way, just go down the Feather River. All those people, their lives took an incredible twist on Sunday night. All the way down to Wheatland, California, where I live. Some 200,000 people were told they had an hour to leave their home. Because of the spillway, the emergency spillway at Oroville Dam was going to fail. And that would mean if that failed, there would have been a 30-foot wall would have collapsed, and 30 feet of that entire lake, it would have been over 1 billion gallons of water would have dumped down the Feather River. And it would have hit all those cities down below. The people grabbed what they could, and they headed out. And when they hit the roads, guess what they hit? Congested roads. Nobody was going anywhere. And yet here's this threat that everything is going to be gone in just a matter of an hour. And you can't go anywhere. So you can imagine the frustration and the feelings that they're feeling because they're trying to flee and there's nowhere to go. Whole families were displaced in one night, not knowing if they were going to return to a home. They didn't know what was going to be left. Rumors flew all over the place. I couldn't believe all the social media, the different things I was hearing. One lady was saying she heard the dam had broken, the water was coming, and she was standing like outside her car looking for this wall of water because she wasn't going anywhere because she was stuck in traffic. For a day and a half, there was only speculation. No one knew what was going on. And for this group of people, their whole world had been totally turned upside down. And yet just 20 miles south of the areas, in any direction, lives of other people, they were totally oblivious to what was happening. I was watching on Facebook people just posting about food and doing all the things that they normally do. And I'm thinking, everything's going to end up here. And I couldn't believe it. Just how oblivious people were to what was going on. It was a crushing situation for those who were involved because what you don't know about that area is that they live with flood all the time. There's been floods historically, 86 flood, 96 flood. Whole communities were wiped out. And so they live with this memory all the time. So the threat of a flood was a real thing to them. And so they knew that not to play around. They knew to get out because they had seen it before. They've heard their grandma and grandpa talk about floods in the past. They knew that you can't mess around. And finally, I think for some people, it started to sink in that this is a real emergency. And I was glad that there was people in this church that I was able to get a hold of, and we were able to provide something. Because people were leaving and didn't know where they were going. And so I'm thankful for Jim and Pastor Charlie, because I called them and they had to wait. They had no idea when someone was coming. I just said, people are coming. I don't know when, but they'll be there. And so we had 18 people show up and we were able to take care of them. And so I'm very proud of the people who stepped up. And as I reflect on this whole week, and with the death of a friend, I'm just thinking about and reminded of, what is the source of my joy? Where do I find joy? Where do I find it? Psalm 32 talks about the joy of forgiveness and the joy of just knowing God's in charge, that God's providing, God's protection. The psalm is God's response to our need, our greatest need being the forgiveness of sin. Sin overwhelms us, floods our lives, and crushes those around us. Sin leaves us washed out, empty, and without hope. But God, in the moment, steps in with grace, mercy, and love, and we can know the joy of His forgiveness. Psalm 32 starts out with this: how joyful is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is covered. How joyful is the man the Lord does not charge with sin, and whose spirit there is no deceit. Reading this, I am reminded of my own rebellion against God. I'm reminded of my rebellion against God, and that we all have protested His standards. We have all turned, as Isaiah tells us, we've all turned and gone our own way, and we all are guilty of falling short of the glory of God. David wrote this psalm in verses 3 and 4. You can see this. He says, when I kept silent, my bones were brittle from my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy on me, and my strength was drained as in the summer heat. What I take from that is sin can wear you down. How many of you have been worn down by sin? By your own struggles? Just wears you out, doesn't it? I've seen this in my own life, and I've seen this in others. I've seen people waste away under sin. People who are addicted to drugs and alcohol, and you name it, and they refuse to get help or can't get help, eventually they just start to give up altogether, and you can just kind of watch them just slowly be taken out as their addictions take over their lives, and their lives end tragically. I've seen that enough times that I'm tired of seeing it, but I see it. There's also people who can never forgive. Bitterness and resentment fill their hearts, and they'll never find peace. And you can talk to them, they become bitter old people, just mad at the world, up to the time they die. And there's still others who feel so guilty about their past, they're paralyzed. They're paralyzed and cannot live because they can't forgive themselves. And I've also seen people who are slaves to the pursuit of material things, and they just pursue them. And they're never happy with what they have. Never. You can have all the world and still not enough. The fact is, we all think we know more than God. We think we can do better. We think somehow that God, in his making out his standard, was just, he made a mistake. He set it too high for us. He was unreasonable. It's unreachable. It's unfair standard he has set. And thus, we feel obligated to take matters in our own hand. And as a result, we are heavied. We feel heavy. And this drains us and crushes us, as the psalmist says. So the question is, where do we turn from here? Where do we turn at this moment? Because this is where we're at. What hope do we have in these times? Where can I find joy? Where can I find hope? To answer the question, we have to realize one thing. You cannot rescue yourself. You can't. It's impossible. And I love verse 5 because David, who wrote this psalm, he says this, he realizes this, and he says this in verse 5. Read it. He says, "Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not conceal my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you took away the guilt of my sin." To truly be free of the guilt of sin and all its weight, we must acknowledge our sin and turn to God, the one who can take it away from us, the one who can heal us, can forgive us, can cover our sin, can take it away and fill our hearts with joy. The problem is, we like to manage our own sin first, right? When things don't go right, we try to figure out a way to make it right. But it usually, we think that, all right, maybe if I go out and I do good works, that somehow I'll tip the scales in my favor, that things will work out some way. How many of you have worked that way? You said, well, I messed up on this. I'll try to make it up on this end. And you just hope that things work out for the better. Does it work? You know what happens? Usually what happens, we think that the scales will kind of balance in our favor, but what happens, it just gets heavier on our end. They just become even more unbearable. And the thing will happen, we'll come to a breaking point, and we'll do one or two things. And maybe you've been in this position, you'll do one of two things. You either harden your heart and compromise with your sin and just go right back to it, because what does it matter? I'm stuck in this cycle. I'll just go back to it. Or it'll break us and we'll turn to God and confess our sin and ask for forgiveness. The psalmist in these verses, he didn't hold anything back. David is not generalizing our sin. See, one of the problems happens is we just say, God, forgive us, and we don't ask for specifics. We don't ask that we're struggling with this. Help us specifically with this thing. What we need to do is confess our sins, what it is that God, that we're struggling with to ask for help. Because God wants us to confess our sins. He wants us to believe that he is faithful and that he'll help us. But it only comes about if we actually confess our sins to God. We confess our sins to God. He wants us to be humble and to be honest with him and not hold anything back. He doesn't want us to hide our sins. See, I just want to encourage you this morning. You know, sometimes we look at God as like one of our parents. You know, we say, you know, I just think about my own sons that, you know, they don't want to confess it. They'll hem and haw around the whole subject, and they just won't say what it is that they did. You know, because they don't want to hurt your feelings, right? They don't want you to look down upon them. They don't want you to think less of them. Am I right? How many of you have done something wrong to somebody and you just don't want to, you don't want to tell them directly what you've done because you know or you think that they'll think less of you? See, God never sees you that way. He doesn't see you as less than, ever. And he's never surprised by your sin. He doesn't go, oh my gosh, I can't believe you did that. He never does that. Never. He's never surprised by your sin. He knows your sin. He knows everything you've done before you've done it. And so we can take encouragement to know that we're not catching God by surprise. He's just waiting for you to humble yourself and to ask for help so that he can help you. But he's not going to do it if you're not going to ask. That's just period. Because he'll let, listen, time is on his side. He'll just let it ride until you break and you need him. And why would he do that? Because he loves you. And he wants you to trust him and to place your faith in him. God will never love you less because of something you've done. Never. Ever. Acts 3:19 says, therefore repent and turn back so that your sins may be wiped out and a season of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He wants us to be confessional, to confess our sins, and he wants you to be clean and free of guilt. He doesn't want you to live with all that. And what holds us back? And I think one of the things is that what holds us back from being confessional and just open right up front is that I just don't think we fully understand what a privilege we have in being in Jesus Christ. Do you understand what a privilege it is to be in Jesus? Because Jesus' sacrifice on the cross and the shedding of his blood, we have direct access to God. The writer of Hebrews 10:19-23, says this. He says, therefore, brothers, since we have the boldness to enter the sanctuary through the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, he has opened for us through the curtain that is his flesh. I want to pause there for a moment and just kind of give you a picture. You know, I'm reading through Leviticus. It's that time of year as I read through the Bible, and I'm always overwhelmed by Leviticus. Has anybody read Leviticus? It's in the Old Testament. It's the law. And it's bloody. Because it opens up, he builds a tabernacle. God has the people build a tabernacle. It's a tent. And in this tent is another tent. And in this tent is the holies and then the holies of holies. And in the holy of holies, God has a curtain built that separates God from the people. Totally separates. And inside that holy of holies is the Ark of the Covenant. It's where the presence of God resides in this tent. There's this temple there. And there's all these priests. and there's a head priest. And once a year, the head priest, on the Day of Atonement, goes in to the Holy of Holies and sprinkles blood on the mercy seat, which is on the covenant, on the ark, for the sins of the people. Once a year that he's allowed to go in there. But that curtain always separates man from God. And you, as us, as if we were to go to the temple for forgiveness, we'd have to go to a priest. A priest would have to intercede for us. We couldn't go into the Holy of Holies. We couldn't even go into the other tent. We have to stay far away from that, because even to approach that would be risk of my life. To do one thing wrong in that temple, Aaron's sons gave the wrong incense at the wrong time. God killed them right there. Fire. So there was fear in being in the tabernacle, because you do one thing wrong here, it's over. And it's bloody. There's lots of sacrifices that are taking place here. And every time you sin, you've got to go take one of your animals. Just imagine that. And you're the one who does the killing. And then that animal is put on an altar and burnt before the Lord to atone for your sin. And this went on forever. You know what? At the birth of Jesus, he comes into the world as a sacrifice for our sins, once and for all. And on the cross, he shed his blood. And you know, when he took his last breath and he says, "It's finished." You remember what you read? You read about in the temple, the Holy of Holies, the curtain that separated man from God tore in half. You know what that meant for us? That we no longer have to go through priests. We no longer have to go and kill animals for our sin. For Christ died for us. He shed his blood for us. And now we have the high priest as Jesus himself. And now we can pray and talk directly to Jesus and know that he is our advocate to the Father, directly in the presence of God. And we have to go through no rituals. That's a beautiful picture, isn't it? That's a privilege that we have. We can go directly to God. We don't have to pause and wait and pray. And since we know we now have a great high priest, the Hebrew writer tells us, over the house of God, and that's Jesus himself, let us draw near with a true heart, sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed in pure water. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he has promised is faithful. Amen? I mean, we can come into the presence of God knowing, because of Jesus, we can confess our sins and God forgives us and he cleanses us of our sin. Psalm 103, 10 and through 12, it says this. He has not dealt with us as our sins deserved or repaid us according to our offenses. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his faithfulness, his faithful love towards those who fear him. Listen, as far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. You know how far the east is from the west? There are two lines that never end. It never ends. That's how far it's removed. And it's gone. God doesn't remember it. We remember it, but God says it's gone. It's forever gone. Through Christ, we can have a right relationship. It starts with Jesus. We put our faith in Christ and what he did. We put our faith in the cross. And so when we read, if we confess with our mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. One believes with his heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with his mouth, resulting in salvation. What is the impact of our confession? When we confess that Jesus is Lord and put our faith in Jesus, what happens is forgiveness of all our sins. We're cleansed. We're forgiven. We have a right relationship with God. We are no longer enemies with God, but we're put into right standing with God. We can stand before the throne of God with boldness and know that our prayers are answered and that He will meet us with grace abounds in our time of need. And I think about that, all the challenges that we face in this world, that God is with us. And we can know that He's with us. And we can rejoice with the psalmist when he says in verses 6 and 7, "Therefore let everyone who is faithful pray to you at a time that you can be found. That great flood waters come, they will not reach us. You are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with joyful shouts of deliverance." Amen? We can have confidence in any situation. It doesn't mean that God is always going to pull us out of situations, but we can know that He walks with us. He never abandons us, ever leaves us. We can trust God with everything, that He walks with us. And if you just keep reading in verse 8, he says this, "I will instruct you and I will show you the way to go. With my eyes on you, I will give you counsel." See, He never leaves us. He even guides us. He gave us a Bible that instructs us. And He gives us the Holy Spirit to indwell us, to help us understand the Scriptures. He's always there guiding us. Always there holding our hands. Always walking with us. His eyes are on us and He gives us counsel. I hope right about now you're starting to see the joy of knowing the Lord. I hope right about now you're starting to see that sins are forgiven, your sins are covered, and God doesn't hold the charge of sin over your head, that you are totally free of them, and that you can know the joy of the Lord. God wants you to be near to Him. He wants to remove the sin that keeps you from Him. And He did this, and He took it very serious, and He did this by sending Jesus, who took the penalty of sin upon Himself. It was died and buried. But you see, God intervened, and He rose Him from the dead. And thus Christ defeated both sin and death. And by putting our faith in Jesus, our sins are forgiven, our hearts are cleansed, and we can stand before God with confidence. And we can have joy. And we can know joy. That in the midst of anything, God is present. We can confess our sins we still struggle with. How many of you struggle with sin still? I hope all hands go up. Because we all do. We all hold this in confidence, but I'm hoping this morning that you know that God's standing by and wants to help you if you just turn to Him and just confess, and that you have access. It's all there for you. You just have to trust and believe. He reminds us of our forgiveness, and He wants to walk with us, to teach us, to guide us, to love us and protect us. We just have to rest in Him. Even in the darkest days, toughest times, God teaches me to just walk with Him and be with Him. In verse 9, God warns the psalmist this. And when I read this, I kind of struggle, but here's what it says. It says, don't be like the horse or mule without understanding. It must be controlled by bit or bridle, or else it will not come near you. And I think what he's saying to us is God is reminding us not to be stubborn. Don't be like a dumb animal. You know better. Can you relate to that? I mean, so many of us, we sit here and we struggle with sin, and we know the answer. He gives it to us. He's given it to us. And he's saying, don't be a stubborn mule, but turn to me. I'll help you. I'm here standing by. God is reminding us not to be stubborn. Don't let sin control your life and keep you from Him. He wants you to trust Him and to know His faithful love, that He is faithful even though we are faithless. This morning, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ with your life, I just pray right now that you would put your faith in Christ and you would confess him as Lord of your life, that you would surrender to him this morning. It doesn't matter how long you've confessed Christ, how long you've said, oh, I believe. This morning, my question for you is if you've ever surrendered to Christ. Because that's one thing to know Jesus, and it's another thing to surrender to him, to confess him as Lord. When it says Lord, it means he's Lord of your life, Lord of everything, that you totally believe and trust in him, that you give him your life to be Lord of. We need to surrender. And then if you're a believer here and you're struggling through life or you're just kind of on cruise control, I pray right now that God would just fill your heart with his presence. I pray that whatever you're struggling through, that God right now is just talking to you and that he's assuring you that he's with you and he's walking with you and he knows you and he loves you and he wants you to be with him. He wants you to know his joy. You just have to confess your need for him. And I pray that this morning that you'll do that. See, there's two verses that this, or three verses here. I hope this comes a reality to you. Is there bookends to this psalm? The first two verses and the last one. And here's what it says. And I hope this becomes real for you this morning. How joyful is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is covered. How joyful is the man the Lord does not charge with sin, and whose spirit is no deceit, because you have nothing to hide. I love that. And then the last verse, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones. Shout with joy, all you upright in heart, because we trust God and we have nothing to hide. Amen. So this morning we're going to take the Lord's Supper. And I just want to take a moment for us this morning to just pause and reflect before we do. I just want you to take your time, a few minutes, to just be confessional. Wherever you're at, it's just really to seek God with all your heart. And just confess any sins that you have. Don't hold back. Whatever it is. Whatever you think it is. Here's another thing is, you know, Charlie said be still at the beginning. And I thought that was a good start today. Is that just be still for a moment and listen to God's voice. He'll tell you. I'm telling you right now. He will press upon you your heart. If you're listening, something that you need to deal with. I know he does that with me all the time. He'll let me know. And what, you know what you do with that? You confess your need for him in that situation. Whatever it is that's got you. He wants to help you. And so take a moment to just confess your sins. And so when we come to the Lord's Supper, this is how we want to come to it. We want to come to it knowing that our sins are forgiven, that he is with us. We want to know that, yes, his body was broken for us, so that we can come into the God's presence. We want to know and believe and remember that his blood was shed for us. And because of it, we have forgiveness of sin. And we have nothing holding us back. There's no rituals, no priest, no nothing. That's just, we can come into the presence of God himself. And we can know with boldness that we're justified to stand there because of Jesus. Not because of something I did, but because of what Christ did for me. And we can have confidence. And we can stand there without fear, knowing that our Father loves us and wants us there, wants you there. So whatever's holding you back, whatever it is, confess it this morning. And let me start by praying, and then we'll have the time of reflection. And then we'll have, who's going to, Mike and Charlie come up front. And you can come up, take the elements back to your seat, and then take them yourself. And when we're all done, we'll wrap up. Okay, so, but let's have this time of reflection. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray right now, Lord, as we just come into a time of confession, Lord, that surely we would just examine our hearts right now, Lord. Lord, as we pause here, I pray that you would press upon our hearts any sins that we have, any struggles that we have, anything that's keeping us from truly experiencing your joy of knowing who you are, Lord. I pray right now, Lord, that you would just make that known to us. And here's what else I pray for now. Lord, if that we would just surrender to you, that we would just trust you, Lord, to just know that you want to forgive us. You want us to live in the joy of knowing who you are, in the joy of your salvation, Lord, that we can know your peace and your comfort and your love. And I pray for that right now, Lord. I thank you for your son, Jesus, who makes this possible, that his body was broken for us and his blood shed for us, Lord. And I put my faith in you, Jesus. And I thank you.